This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, paint language into a corner. I did tell it not to go and stand in the corner while I was painting, though, so it's just going to have to wait until the floorboards have dried. I'm glad to be back with the first episode of 2024. This podcast just turned 9 years old. The best birthday gift for a podcast is if you recommend it to someone who might like it. The other good gift is becoming a member of the Allusionverse at theallusionist.org/donate, where, in return, you receive regular live streams where I read from my ever-expanding collection of dictionaries, you get behind-the-scenes info about the making of every episode, and you get to hang out in the Allusionverse Discord community to chat with your peers, and together we're watching the new season of the most wholesome show on television, The Great Pottery Throwdown. And soon we will start watching the Canadian version too. Join us at theallusionist.org/donate. Content note, this episode contains a few Category B swears. It's also a good time to note that there are transcripts of every episode of the show. Go to theallusionist.org/transcripts or click on the transcripts tab of the website. Also on the website, every episode has its own post with links to each of the guests and information about the topics and links to those transcripts as well. The most recent episodes of the podcast are also available on YouTube with the transcript as the subtitles. Find that at youtube.com/allusionistshow. On with the show. How is it easiest for you, for me to ask questions? Would you rather I put them in the chat or ask them like this?
Ask them audibly.
Okay.
If the answer doesn't match the question, and I don't, if I see the physical expression on your face change, perhaps put it in the chat that it's the speaking naturally and the not overemphasizing and the people who go, I'll just shout.
So how does it change things when people over-enunciate because they think that's helpful? Because that must change the mouth shapes a lot.
It changes the mouth shape. So you are looking for the consonants particularly, the ones that are visible, you recognise the lip shapes. Vowels are a bit different because they will alter with accents. But yes, if you start with the cat sat on, it's not going to help.
It looks like your mouth's just flapping in the breeze.
I'm Helen Barrow. I've had lifelong hearing loss. And I am Nottinghamshire's only qualified and active lip reading tutor.
You're the only one?
In Nottinghamshire.
Ooh, but that's a big county for there to be just one of you.
It is.
Is it an unusual profession to have, then?
I think the word niche would be, springs to mind, even though there are 5 million-ish adults in the UK with a hearing loss across the spectrum. So from mild, moderate, all the way through to profound. And people who've now met me before, as I go, I'm a lip reading tutor. And they see the words forming of, oh, you sign. And the people who know me will start taking three steps back because they know I will explain.
The term lip reading is really very descriptive. So it is galling that people assume that it is sign language. Lip reading could barely be more clear as a term.
Yeah. The clue is in the name.
Signing's a whole different language.
It is. I don't sign formally. What I do isn't necessarily visible unless you pick up that I am concentrating. I'm not particularly, I might make eye contact, but I'm looking at this bit with a sort of peripheral around the whole body language, which I realise for a podcast of me going, this is the lips and this is the bigger body, is perhaps not going to come across.
Yes, it's a shortcoming of the medium.
But yes, it's lip reading.
I tried to explain to my husband why lip reading has been in the news recently, and I felt about 1,000 years old. Can you explain?
Well, celebrities, of course. Hi, I'm Lainey Louie. I'm the editor of LaineyGossip.com and The Squawk on Substack, and a professional gossip.
Lainey's an alumnionist. She appeared on the show a few years ago in the episode about the history and importance of gossip. And even if you don't particularly care about any of the people involved in this latest lip-reading gossip story, jog along with us.
So, at the Golden Globe Awards, two lip-reading incidents, scandals, occurred. The first involved Selena Gomez, Taylor Swift, and Taylor Swift's friend Kelly Teller. So right away, when you have Selena Gomez and Taylor Swift in a story, it's going to be big. These are two of the biggest named celebrities that we have right now. Someone was able to record off camera from the awards broadcast a moment in which Selena Gomez runs up to Taylor and Kelly Teller's table to whisper something. And Kelly Teller is seen saying, "Timothy, with Timothy?" question mark. And so everybody was wondering, what was it that Selena told Taylor and Kelly? Then someone else shared a different camera angle of that moment with no audio, but Taylor can be seen reacting to what Selena told her with, you know, a lean back and an open mouth, which we all recognize to be the reaction that any human being has to being told something super juicy, that you're like leaning back with your body and opening your mouth like, oh my God, no way. The internet became obsessed with what exactly it was that Selena dished. And so the non-professional lip readers jumped in and deduced that Selena told Taylor that she asked Timothy Chalamet for a photo, and Kylie Jenner, who was with Timothy Chalamet that night, rejected the request. And of course, that relates to beef and celebrities feuding, and that just blew up.
You've really got to do a lot of studying to keep track of the various beefs involved in this.
Yes, beefs.
Selena Gomez quickly refuted the detective lip reader's interpretations, commenting on Instagram, "No, I told Taylor about two of my friends who hooked up, not that it's anyone's business." Then she announced she was taking a break from social media. Then after this online retirement that lasted several hours, she returned to Instagram to post a photo of her with actor Emily Blunt, both posing with their hands covering their mouths. Why is Emily Blunt involved in this?
On the same night at the Golden Globes, during the arrivals on the red carpet, Emily Blunt arrived with her husband, John Krasinski. And at a certain point, cameras caught him saying something to her, and lip readers, the unprofessional ones on the internet, have decided that what he said to her was, "I can't wait to get a divorce."
Something you would definitely say on the red carpet. It's such a sensible thing to say when you're being watched.
Which is absurd, but again, someone posted that on TikTok, their theory, and that just went wild, resulting in widespread speculation that perhaps Emily Blunt and John Krasinski's marriage, which was thought to be solid, might be in a precarious position.
Incredible that the Golden Globes does so well out of these sort of things.
Listen, the Golden Globes are not prestigious by any means, but one of the things that makes the Golden Globes fun is that because celebrities are able to sit at tables instead of in an auditorium seating, and they're drinking at the table because, of course, these people don't eat, they get tipsy and they get silly, and it is a good place for gossip generation.
I suppose also you don't often get to see famous people being friends with each other, except for like going in and out of buildings.
Yeah.
But you don't usually get to witness their conversations like this.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think that for anybody who follows celebrity gossip and who's interested in the lives of celebrities, you know, one of the fantasies is to be able to be at a party with them. And that's what the Golden Globes is watching them at a party.
Lip reading related gossip stories crop up quite often. What were Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez saying to each other while looking cross at the 2023 Grammys? Did Bill Paxton really make that mean quip when another nominee beat him to a Golden Globe in 2010? In 2018, Britain's then Prime Minister Theresa May was caught on film, but not audio, supposedly saying angrily to the then President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, "What did you call me? You called me nebulous?" And also in 2018, Britain's then leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, had to defend himself against reports that his lips had been spotted calling Theresa May stupid. Do media outlets ever hire professional lip readers to verify this stuff or even just, you know, generate the stories themselves when celebs are on camera?
Oh my God, all the time.
Yeah?
All the time. Like, the Daily Mail, I think, is number one for that. I think once a week I read an article on the Daily Mail that is like, professional lip reader decides that King Charles said this to Camilla or whatever, you know?
Do you think that's the same as their professional body language expert?
Exactly, exactly.
The internet's not going to fill with spurious nonsense all by itself.
So, yes, there are lip readers that are hired or consulted all the time by tabloids to figure out what XYZ royal or celebrity said to another celebrity.
In sport, too, lip readers analyse what players were saying to each other or shouting at each other.
And they used to just bleep, didn't they? If the footballers went words to the effect of, "Dear ref, I don't agree with your decision," they would bleep it out. And then people realised they could lip read what they were saying of those short words with not many syllables and some of the lip shapes quite obvious. So now they pixelate it, don't they? But you also pick up that body language, don't you? You can see it in the body language of, "Dear ref, I don't quite agree with your decision."
In 2018, lip readers helped to determine that spectators had shouted racist abuse at football player Raheem Sterling, as a result of which one of the spectators was banned for life from Chelsea Football Club. In 2012, the footballer John Terry was found not guilty of racial abuse in a criminal case because lip readers can't confirm the tone in which he said the things, or whether he said them as a quotation or a question. Lip readers are also hired by police and lawyers to try to see what someone said, for example, on CCTV footage. But Helen Barrow does not provide testimony in legal cases, or to the media.
And goes back to the policy of my professional association, APLA, is that we don't interpret. And yes, you will see in the press, expert lip reader. There are those who wish to do it. Me personally and my professional association, no.
Helen's professional association, the Association of Teachers of Lip Reading to Adults, states that it will turn down requests to provide interpreters for media or legal investigations. They give several reasons, including: lip reading used in this way could be used to sensationalise events and trivialise the difficulties involved in skillful lip reading. Evidence involving lip reading is unlikely to be accepted in a court of law. Lip reading such videos or DVDs may constitute an invasion of privacy of the person being lip read. Using listening devices, bugs, to record conversations is unlawful without a court order. Lip reading duplicates this concept through an alternative medium. The difficulties inherent in lip reading, e.g. lip reading is phonetic and as such a lot of words look very similar, also there is a need for context and subject clues, accuracy cannot be guaranteed. There is no accreditation or formal test for lip reading accuracy.
There are so many factors that can influence what it is and so many words that can look alike that if you don't have the context, you won't know the difference. It won't really work on a podcast, but I can do it.
Oh, please.
If you want me to do you a quick demo, yeah. I will give you three words then, totally without context. Okay.
Well, Well, it looked like you were saying ba ba ba, but that I assume is not what you were saying.
That wasn't what I was saying, no.
What were you saying?
So you've got the right one in, you've got the B. Yeah. So one of them was a B. So if I give you some context then, if I tell you one was a furry animal, one can be a civic leader, and one can be a piece of fruit. Okay, right, I'll do it again.
I'm bad at this.
But the thing is, I have deliberately picked three words that I know look alike, because to go into the technical side of it, consonant confusion group, you know, a set of lip shapes that look alike.
Homophenes is the term for words that sound different but look the same on the lips. And visemes are the sounds in speech that look the same when lip-read. There are more phonemes than there are visemes, so quite a lot of things that sound different look the same.
The letters B, P, and M look alike. In the context of you're looking at a word without voice, or a letter, B, P, and M, the lips come together in a neutral lip shape, and I've picked the same vowel at the end.
So what were you saying?
So I had got bear, pear, mare.
Incredible.
But bear again, but you think about the spellings in the English language. I said it was a furry animal. Bear spelt B-A-R-E. A tree is bare of its leaves. Mm. A pear, piece of fruit, equally two of something will look exactly alike. Mare could be a horse, but equally it could be a civic leader. So if you look at that, of that one, what appeared to be that one word, and how many different definitions you can get from that, if you've got no context, which word is it? And how confident would you be you've got the right one? So that's probably why I personally, and the professional decision is, we don't do interpretation. Yes, if the topic is orchards and you're looking at fruit in an orchard, then yes, you probably go, you know, it'll be apples, it'll be pears, that kind of thing. But if it's an orchard somewhere where there's 6-foot furry animals around, if that's possible.
Yeah, could be a bear or a female horse.
Yeah, just look at it on the face of it. How do you work out what it is? What else are you putting around it?
What other easily mixed up sounds are there, or things that are just very difficult to ascertain?
In the consonant confusion groups, there are about 12. So B, P, and M is one set, but you can see the B, P, and M. One that's not as visible is T, D, and N. So if you do a T, D, and N, what's visible on that? And think about where the tongue is of when you do that. The tongue's on the ridge of your back of your front teeth. And you think how many tudders and nuz there are in words.
Yes, very commonly occurring letters.
Yeah. Now, but TH is different. If you think about th, then you will see the tongue come forward on that. So a TH is different. Again, different ways of saying T-A, the th. What else we got? F and V. So very recognisable lip shape in the top teeth touch the bottom lip. But again, fine and vine will look exactly alike. Fat and vat. Qu and W. So you get a rounded lip shape. But you've then got a group of sh, sh, j, and a zh, which is in words like measure, that all have, again, a rounded lip shape. But then if you look at something like gin, spelt with a G but said with a J, again, confusion reigns.
Confusion reigns. It often reigns in all forms of language.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, yes, I only teach in English, but I am quite sure there are many, many other languages where you get similar kinds of issues and shapes and how they're said and words that will look alike.
Yes. I wonder which language is the easiest and which ones are the most difficult to lip read. How different is the skill of lip reading depending on which sort of accents you're dealing with? You know, if someone is from the US, is British accented lip reading going to be accurate enough for them?
I think it's you get to know people and you get to know how they speak, how they construct their sentences. And in some ways, the States is no different to somebody who lives in Scotland, lives in Wales, and you probably listen to my accent, which does have a hint of broad Nottingham. And my students, and particularly when we get a bit of a north-south divide in the UK, they're buses where I am, those long things that carry lots of people, but it's a very flat U, and they will pick that out. But speaking naturally, you get used to it. So the people you see regularly, you will get used to that. You will get used to how they speak. So it's probably a lot easier people that you know, but it's not only the accent, the sentence construction. What's the commonality that you've got with that person? You know, what are they likely to talk to you about? The diversity of the language. You don't have to go far to get differences, but you're looking at that lip shape, you're looking at the sentence and going, I've lip read this, it doesn't make sense. And the brain's going, right, what else could it be? And then, you know, whether you ask a closed question of, did you say X? At which point you will hopefully get a body language, a yes or a no. There, again, culturally, across the continents, a nod of the head isn't always yes. So, yeah, the language of it is fascinating.
And when people have beards, does that complicate things?
Okay, I had a contract of employment in the 80s that was very, very specific, that gentlemen must have neatly trimmed facial hair to work for an organisation. And I have been known to quote that. And yes, it does make a difference because you don't see the nuances of what's being said. And it can be quite difficult whether they can help you with that, speak clearer, look at the whole tools and techniques around it. You know, well, at least if they're looking at you, you've got that, you're in a quiet environment, and try and put all the mitigating factors in that you can, then hopefully you can sort it out.
How accurate is lip reading? If all the circumstances are ideal, you've got a neatly trimmed beard, you've got good sight lines for someone's face, how accurate is lip reading?
I think if you read the professional texts around it, it's somewhere between 30 and 40% of the English language is visible on the lips. So the rest of it you are putting together. In the classes that we will do this evening, you will ask people to give a context before they speak without voice. So actually within a class, you turn your voice off and make it as quiet or as sound free as possible. But you've set that context. So it may be that you can pick up those key words from it and work out. And depending on the words, depending on the subject, you know, you can look at some sentences and go 100% spot on. You can look at another sentence 5 minutes later and go, not a clue, or you got two or three words from it. in the way that we are looking at the lip reading, you're not necessarily going to get every word in a sentence. Your core is, what's the gist of it? What's that person telling me, asking me, and put it together. But all the little joining words that we would say in spoken English, yes, are in there, but do you clock every one of them?
We're just going to take a quick pause for ads. Thanks to Bombas for sponsoring The Allusionist and for making these super soft t-shirts and durable socks I've been wearing every day this winter. I was excited to see their latest product, reflective socks, for socturnal activities, their portmanteau, although I am jealous I didn't think of it. I fancy wearing them so that passers-by at dusk don't miss out on the hilarious sight that is me pedalling my trike very slowly up a hill. The new socks not only have a 360-degree band of reflective material so you're visible from all round, but they also have all of Bombas's usual features. Extra cushioning for the footbed, honeycomb of support around the arches, stay-up technology, sweat-wicking fabric, and Bombas's best feature of all. For every item of Bombas clothing you buy, they donate one to someone in need. Ready to get comfy and give back? Head over to bombas.com/illusionist and use the code Allusionist for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/illusionist and use the code Allusionist at checkout. The Allusionist is sponsored by Kitsch, who make products for your hair and skin that are fun and useful, from solid shampoo and conditioner bars to satin heatless hair curlers, and dishes, caddies and bags to keep the aforementioned shampoo and conditioner bars so they don't stay soggy and get slimy. I've been on the solid hair products train for several years now, choo-choo, and I love them. My hair looks a lot better, and I love not having plastic packaging or the prospect of my shampoo leaking into my luggage when I travel. But proper drainage is critical, and Kitsch knows it. They've even got a three-section soap dish for your shampoo and conditioner and body soap to live out their days slime-free. And isn't that what we all hope for in life? Right now, Kitsch is offering you 25% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/illusionist. That's right, 25% off anything and everything at mykitsch, that's kitsch.com/illusionist. One more time, mykitsch.com/illusionist for 25% off your order. And now, back to Helen Barrow and Lainey Louie. Ethically, where do you stand on reading the lips of someone who is not in conversation with you? Maybe they're across a cafe, but you can see them clearly. Would you have a little look, or would you think, meh?
Technically, distance-wise, you would probably have a job to do it. The optimal distance be 3 feet away, but the further away, you're not going to see it as clearly. And again, would you know the context? If I'm out eating with somebody, or, you know, I'm with somebody else, it's apart from the fact it's rude, you know, you're not talking to the person that you're with.
It's just a different form of eavesdropping.
Yeah, I mean, there's a series of detective novels of a lady who lip reads to solve crimes. Who, yeah, 30, 40 feet away, knows exactly what they say. Oh, I've solved the crime. Brilliant set of books and short stories to read. Practical implementation, realistically, no.
Those are the Judith Lee stories by Richard Marsh. Lip reading from across a room is quite a popular trope in detective stories. There's The Silent World of Nicholas Quinn by Colin Dexter, who was himself deaf, and he created the character Inspector Morse, who goes to a lip reading class as part of his murder investigation, and thus learns how two words may have looked alike to the deaf titular character Nicholas Quinn. I asked Caroline Crampton of She Done It podcast about lip reading in Golden Age detective fiction, and she mentioned The Listening Eye by Patricia Wentworth, which I just started reading and in fact tore myself away from it to make the show. In both of these novels, the lip reading character is not the detective, but there is also the author Sue Thomas. Her work as a lip reader for the FBI was the basis for the TV series Sue Thomas FBI. There's wordplay on the eye. I, as in ocular eye. Meanwhile, the amateur detectives providing their lip-reading interpretations of video clips of celebrities like Selena Gomez. Well, it's hard to prove that they are definitely right, but also hard to prove that they are definitely wrong.
Exactly. Stories like these never come to a conclusion because no one is going to tell us, out of all the parties involved, what exactly they were talking about. They can't. They can't, because clearly someone was talking shit, you know? And they're not going to go on record and say who they were talking shit about. So we'll never really fully get a period, full stop, bow tie conclusion. We can move on. So that means that the conversation is ongoing. It continues. It has immortality, so to speak. And that's part of it's the intoxicating factor of it, where it won't end if we don't have to let it end. And we won't let it end. There's no series finale.
It's quite nice that it's not about something really bleak.
Yeah, this is low stakes, right?
It's so weird, though, that this has been so big when it's about nothing happening. Fundamentally, nothing happened, and it is about the absence of anything happening. Do you have any favorite gossip stories that have come out of lip reading?
To be honest, I can't think of any off the top of my head. And here's why. I don't think I have, as a professional gossip, cataloged and committed lip reading incidents to memory. And I have to say, I have a photographic, or, you know, if I could remember like physics principles, the way I can remember celebrity gossip details, I actually probably would work for NASA. Anyway, my point is, I haven't cataloged it and therefore committed it to memory, because I don't consider it a legitimate source. Mm-hmm. The same way I don't consider, and we shouldn't consider, like, body language a legitimate source. And it happens all the time, right? We see a picture of two celebrities, and one happens to be making a face, and it's like, they're in a fight, they're about to break up. And wouldn't you know, they were just in the middle of sneezing or something like that. And so I feel the same way about lip reading, because it's not a science, it's not super accurate. And so I take a really purist, almost sanctimonious gossip perspective to this, because it actually makes me angry that that lip reading will become like a form of sourcing and its own story generator, when it's a nothing burger. With the John Krasinski and Emily Blunt thing, legitimate headlines were created, many, many of them, that read, John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are on the rocks. And that's on the internet forever. So if you are just coming into this situation and learning about the relationship between John and Emily, part of your research would involve, oh yeah, in January of 2024, their relationship hit a speed bump when they were seen at the Golden Globes. And that becomes record. You know what I mean? And so as a purist, I don't want to commit lip reading scandals to memory. And I don't want that to become on record, because it's legitimizing something that shouldn't be legitimized. This has become something I'm really passionate about. And I don't know if your listeners are just going to be rolling their eyes, because they're going to be like, oh, what is this girl saying? The legitimacy of gossip. But I do equate it to media and news in general. You know, the same thing is happening with quote unquote real news. True things are being uttered at the same time as untrue things, and people are losing the ability to tell the difference.
But narratives are always irresistibly attractive to people.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the case of John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. They were just minding their own business, going to an award show together, and suddenly an amateur lip reader is like, I think he said this to her. And then and what got even more out of hand is that the following night or two nights later, she attended another event and he wasn't there, which is normal. Like, your husband can't come to work with you every day. And then people were like, this adds fuel to the fire.
Oh, God.
And so for me, as an entertainment reporter and a culture critic, I care very deeply about what is put out there as real gossip and what is put and what is bullshit, like, and what is just bad gossip.
The celebs all start wearing welding masks to events, so can't lip read anymore.
I know, right? There are a few celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio who continues to wear masks.
Oh, and not for epidemiological reasons.
COVID brought about this thing where it became commonplace in society across the world to see people in masks. Prior to COVID, for the most part, it was like Asian travelers, right? Because masks are quite commonplace in Asian countries, East Asian countries in particular. So you'd go to the East, and for years and years, ever since 2003 SARS, actually, masks were very commonplace in Asia. But when Asians traveled to the West, people would look at them funny when they wore masks. Now, post-COVID, it's very common. So with celebrities, it's become one of those things where, hey, if the paparazzi are around, or Leonardo DiCaprio is, you know, doesn't want to add value to any of his paparazzi photos, he'll slap on a mask. So, you know, you're right. Now that lip reading has become an obsession, will we see more celebrities again wearing masks all over the place?
Or big beards?
Sure.
There's options.
Maybe that's what publicists should be telling their clients. Grow a beard.
Yeah.
Or wear a mask.
Maybe veils will come back as day wear. You've written about how these gossip stories have already been so commonplace in Asia that people will cover their mouths while talking in public.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are also lots and lots of award shows in Korea, in Japan, in China. And for a long time now, when celebrities are sitting in their seats at those award shows, they'll be seated next to another celebrity. They will cover their mouths because social media activity and toxicity and speculation is so out of control in the East. And so, yeah, celebrities have been doing this for a while because, you know, there has been so much social media drama over lip reading and what people think they may have said to somebody else that has affected careers. And especially in China, where censorship is such a problem, and celebrities are even more beholden to social media and fan activity than they are here. And they're also monitored by the governmental agencies. Celebrities have to be so careful. One seemingly harmless thing can lead to the abrupt conclusion of a career in China.
Yeah, so cancel culture is real, just not in the West.
That's right. It is. It's a myth in the West for sure. It is not a myth in the East.
But if you were a celebrity in the West and you wanted to get attention and to stir the pot, you could just stand in the middle of a well-covered event, just mouthing something and see what happens.
Yes. You know what? If anybody is out there is smart and they want to self-engineer a viral moment so that they became famous or even more famous, they would self-create a lip-reading scandal.
Today, you heard from Lainey Louie and Helen Barrow. Helen Barrow teaches lip-reading classes and hearing loss management workshops online and in person. Find out more, and you can sign up for classes, all at her website, lipreading.me.uk. And Lainey Louie is the gossip maven from laineygossip.com and The Squawk on Substack. Read both for analysis of gossip and, more importantly, for the education in media intelligence.
I got a lot of things off my chest.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll send you a bill for the therapy.
The Allusionist is sponsored by Squarespace, our one-stop shop for creating, designing, and running our own websites, and nurturing our entrepreneurial selves from tiny acorn to mighty oak, from tiny quail egg to mighty quail. Squarespace can do it all. Okay, not quail husbandry, but it's got your online presence covered, from custom domains and email addresses, to merch stores, to mailouts, to galleries, to members-only areas, to blogs. I keep saying blogging's coming back.
2005 revival is nigh. And it's not just about indie sleaze coming back. Head to squarespace.com/illusionist for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code illusionist to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/illusionist, offer code illusionist. If you want a bit more of me replacing your interior monologue temporarily, I appear on a recent episode of the fun pop culture podcast Pop This, talking about the truly befuddling film Duets from the year 2000. It's about karaoke contests across the US. It stars Paul Giamatti, Andre Brower, and Gwyneth Paltrow. It was the final film directed by her father, Bruce Paltrow. And it is not a film I would recommend, but I do absolutely recommend this podcast. Find Pop This in the pod places. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is blunge. How fun is that to say? Blunge. Verb. Mix clay or other materials with water in a revolving apparatus for use in ceramics. Derivatives. Blunger. Noun. Origin 19th century. Blend of blend and plunge. Oh my god, it's a portmanteau. What a blessed day. Try using blunge in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, on the unceded, ancestral and traditional territory of the Musqueam, Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. The music is by Martin Austwick of palebirdmusic.com. Thanks to Tracy Birch of the Association of Teachers of Lip Reading to Adults. Also thanks to the literary detective listeners of She Done It podcast. Our ad partner is Multitude. Ad spots are now available on the show in 2024. If you would like me to talk winningly and affectionately about your product or thing, a fresh script every time, contact Multitude at multitude.productions/ads. Find Allusionist Show on the social networks, and you can hear or read every episode, find links to more information about the topics and people therein, and see the full dictionary entries for the randomly selected words, all at the show's forever home, theallusionist.org.